This is an incoming transmission from the Jersey Shore.
This is Financial Insanity with Scott McLean, powered by McLean Advisory Group. Today, you'll hear some of the most important financial information and wealth-building techniques available anywhere.
Let's get this party started, huh?
Do you have a question for Scott and the team?
Am I on the air?
609-488-4646. That's 609-488-4646.
We'll get that information to them by radio.
Now, Financial Insanity with Scott McLean.
You hear Scott's voice on the radio each week. You've probably even seen him around town. Maybe you've seen his face on some advertising. Maybe you know somebody he's worked with. But how much do you know about Scott the person and how Scott came to be who he is now and the business owner that he is? This is going to be a great show for you to get to know Scott. And remember, if you hear something today, if you have questions, you can always reach Scott and his team, 609-488-4646. And Scott, I just want to really get into it here with you and talk about your background a little bit. How did you get involved with financial services, Scott?
I don't know.
That is fair.
I don't know. I just fell in love with just numbers, I think, because of Dad. When we used to play ball, he'd take me out of the ball game and said, "Son, what's 10% of $1,000? And I'd say, "Dad, I'm fixed to play ball." I was like 8 years old. And then he said, "Well, Scott, you got to answer the question. You can't get out of the car. Dad, I'm about to play ball. You got to let me go." And we'd have a little tussle. He always won. And I started to understand I didn't like him because he was running numbers all the time and asking questions. And, you know, the older I get, the smarter he is. And I can see that when I think about numbers, it's so valuable. And then, of course, it led into not only numbers, but then finances. And then on top of finances, money and doing budget. I remember Mom and Dad were arguing about finances. And Ken, why don't you do the checkbook? Or Joan, why don't you do the checkbook? And I remember hearing that as a little guy. And they weren't arguing, just going back and forth and remembering budgets, numbers. 1966, I was a little bit older. I was, I was a whopping 8 years old and we just moved to Florida. Jacksonville, Florida. Just hearing how Daddy, when he bought a car, I'd listen. I didn't know what I was doing. Or when he bought a boat, when he bought things, he was really good at numbers. And I didn't even think of it. So if you're going to go back that far, now going up to this age in my life, now I'm a little bit older, 60 plus years older. And I'm thinking, you know what? Numbers are really important, and finance is so critical when you put numbers to it. And I think that's what made me intrigue. And you know what, Alex? In school, I'll never forget Mr. Brew. I was going to Nyack College and heading into the mission field and looking to be a missionary. And my roommate, Danny, who is now actually overseas in Poland, helping out in the Ukraine crisis. And I'll never forget, he always make fun of me because I liked, my daddy said, "Scott, you must take financial courses." I said, "Daddy, I'm studying Greek, I'm studying Hebrew, I'm getting involved in the ministry." He goes, "Look, what makes me upset," because he's a trustee on the board, "is pastors who handle money don't know much about money. And you need to know about money. So I want you to take financial courses." Now, let me help you, Alex. This is probably crazy like you. You know, I worked at Eddie Sunoco right there in Nyack, New York. I pumped gas from a wonderful time at 2 o'clock in the afternoon till 8 o'clock.
Oof.
I'd go home, I'd study. And then from 1 a.m. to 6 a.m., I'd unload trucks at UPS in Nanuet, New York. Wow. I was butt broke, and I had no money, but Daddy helped pay some of the bills in college, and I, of course, paid a lot of it, too. And I remember when Dad says, "If you don't take college course on finances, then I'm not going to help support you." Well, that was the caveat. So I guess maybe that's where it really hit home, when Daddy said, "I'm not going to really help you out." And you know what, Mr. Brew, we were taking a class called statistics. Have you ever taken a class, statistics, Alex?
Unfortunately, I was forced to, yes.
You know, I remember raising my hand, and Mr. Brew was a CPA in Similac Milk, and he's going to be overseas, and he was at ATS in the seminary, and he was teaching his way, and college kids like me, I'm a young little rat. I guess I was 18 years old, and I raised my hand because he was teaching finance and statistics. I raised my hand and said, Mr. Brew, it looks like you can lie with numbers. He had a big smirk on his face. I'll never forget the smile he had. He said, son, that's what we need. Good businessmen and good businesswomen who understand how people can spin things to make it look good, but frankly, it doesn't. And that's what really turned me on. And I started to gravitate towards the financial world. I think that's where it really, really, I can't say where it really hit home, from whether it's playing ball to there, but then it really hit home on people. There's no classes that people take in school these days. Even still today, there's no class in elementary school, high school, college, unless you actually sign up for, that teaches you about money and finance. And I think that's where the emphasis of our firm has been. Let's educate people. Before you invest, let's understand what the heck you're doing so you don't get caught in the whirlwind of statistical lies. And I think that's really hit me hard, Alex, in my career.
Well, for people that want some answers to their questions, they can call Scott 609-488-4646. And, you know, you said it really started with your dad there. And did you find yourself, you know, passing on some of those words of wisdom to your kids and, you know, grandkids?
Of course I do. And I do the same thing to them daddy did to me, you know, like history repeats itself. I do. And every kid has a different lesson. So if it's my daughter with the horses, I'll relate it to her. If it's my grandson playing baseball and buying a new glove, or maybe buying a ball, or maybe buying ice cream, negotiating, talking, and, you know, trying to get the best bang for your buck, no matter what child I'm speaking to, and I got a bunch of them, I think that's important. Finances will last the rest of your life.
Yeah, I remember my dad always told me that every dollar I make's already been spent. And I remember that was a little bit depressing, but pretty accurate as I started working. I was like, okay, I know what my dad was saying. Now, tell me more, Scott, here about your first job. You first started working, and do you have some experiences or some lessons that have kind of carried on with you?
Best of my knowledge, my first job was at a bowling alley in Jacksonville, Florida. It was just opening up. I was cleaning. I was sweeping the floors. And that was my first job. And they needed, you know, part-time help. And that was fun. The experience, I didn't like it. I guess I didn't like somebody have their thumb on my head and tell me when and putting a number on me and saying, you're worth this. I thought I was worth more. The second biggest thing was, I think the biggest impact was Mr. Jones, a very close friend of mine. He's passed away. Mrs. Jones is still alive. She's about 96, I think, right around now. And Charlie, and they had the largest fence company in Jacksonville, Florida. I remember going out there putting up fence. And what I learned about it? Hard work. And I loved working. I loved being outside. I just tell me what to do. And that made me excited. And my biggest excitement, why did I work? I had to pay for the gas for the boat. Daddy said, if you want to go water skiing a lot, which was my drug of choice, water skiing, I had to water ski. Frankly, I do that more than anything in the world. And I competed all over the United States. But when I was younger, I had to pay for it myself. And that was a big lesson. Of making money. And so Mr. Jones gave me a job, and I'll never forget looking at the paycheck, and my paycheck was, well, at $1.85 an hour, that was a lot of money. But I noticed a line. I didn't know what that line was. Is Social Security federal tax. I was so, I didn't understand those numbers. So of course I asked my dad, and he said, son, that's going to be with you the rest of your life. That's inherited. And I understand about taxes, which is why I built the tax practice now going many years forward. But that really hit me, even though the paycheck was so little, even though it was big back then. Why is somebody putting their hand in my pocket? I got to get their hand out of my pocket. That's what I did. Fence work. Amazing.
Well, and Scott, it's great to hear about, you know, your history, learn a little bit more about you, how you got to be where you're at now. Tell me a little bit about now and what it's like to work with you, to be your client. And, you know, do you do things like hold client events and, you know, encourage these people to stay active? And what is it kind of like to interact with you once, you know, come to work with you?
I just had a meeting today with a client, the second meeting. First time I just get to know people, get a relationship to see if there's a fit. Maybe there's a fit with myself, or maybe they don't fit with me. Maybe I fit with them and they don't fit with me, or vice versa. Number one, there's got to be a fit. Number two, I really want them to understand where they're at. I really want to understand, you know, what does retirement look like near or in retirement? Perhaps people are now, maybe they're 45 and 50. They don't know to save money. They're spending all their money on their kids, which is normal. And then they have to play catch up. Money is so critically, and now it's really hard with this market we're going through right now. I think what's important on the education process and the process I work with our clients is, number one, to educate them. Number two, which is why we've been doing, Alex, so many different workshops, whether it's a tax workshop, a social security workshop. We do a estate planning, I call it wills and trust workshop. We do a workshop on investments. And then, of course, investments and taxes. And so many different areas that come into the area of finance, but it breaks down to how does it really fit the person I'm speaking with at that time. And I think by doing that, I really know how to really help them understand what they're going through, if it's a brand new person I met for the first time, or if it's a client that's been with me for 15, 20, 30 years. And I've got clients that long with me because now it's going in, it's my 40th year on going forward, 41st year going on forward. I think it's really important to understand, for me to understand the client and them to understand me. So if it's a good fit, great. It's a great relationship. I think it's important before we even do business together to know each other. And again, to help them understand or educate them. And that's important to me.
Scott, I've enjoyed getting to know you and talking with you, and very enjoyable experience for me. And you really teach me a lot as well. And if people had questions, how could they get a hold of you, Scott?
I'd love them to write down their questions, to write down their thoughts. Maybe they've been like myself, working their tail off for their life, and now they want to preserve their assets or put them in the right place. I'd love to hear from people at 609-488-4646. If you have questions, I probably have answers for sure. 609-488-4646. Write them down. I feel free to talk to you off the air.
More Financial Insanity with Scott McLean on the way.
Scott McLean at McLean Advisory Group often talks about the difference between retirement savings and retirement income. It isn't necessarily how much money you have saved that's most important. It's having a steady stream of income in retirement, no matter how long you live. Scott has strategies that can help you create consistent monthly income for the rest of your life. He can help you make important decisions today so you can have the income you need in retirement. Having a big nest egg is great, but how will it provide you with the income you need for as long as you live? The number to get more information from Scott at McLean Advisory Group is 609-488-4646. That's 609-488-4646. Turn your portfolio into a plan with help from Scott McLean. 609-488-4646. Investing involves risk. Firm offers insurance services. Investment advisory services are offered through Bell Point Asset Management, LLC.
Why doesn't Sherlock Holmes pay a lot in taxes? Because he makes brilliant deductions. Welcome back to Financial Insanity, brought to you by McLean Advisory Group.
There are millions of articles online talking about investing, tax planning, budgeting, everything you could think of when it comes to preparing for retirement. There's lots to know, important facts about your financial future. Scott, we know knowledge is power, but there's more to financial success than just book smarts. There's also the psychology of money. And that's what we're going to get into here a little bit. Remember, if you have any questions, you hear something, it might bring something forth, you might want to get in front of Scott. That number, 609-488-4646. And when we're talking about the psychology of money, we're talking about Morgan Housel, who's the author, partner at Collaborative Fund, former columnist at Motley Fool, and also the Wall Street Journal, author of the book Psychology of Money. And Scott, I'm going to play a clip here as Morgan, that is, says there's more to financial success than just what you know about money and the world of finance.
But I think there's so much evidence that what matters in investing is not about what you know. It's not about how smart you are. It's not about where you went to school. Mm. It's just how you behave. It's about your relationship with greed and fear, your ability to take a long-term mindset, who you trust, how gullible you are, who you seek your information from. That's what actually matters. That's what moves the needle. And we tend to ignore that because it is not analytical.
What do you think of that, Scott?
You know, what's important, I think, is knowledge is power. You said at the very beginning, and I think he's alluding to the same thing. Knowledge is not power unless applied. You could have as much knowledge as you want. You could be the smartest man in the world. You could be an Einstein. But if you're not applying that knowledge, I just call you double butt dumb, because you're not applying what you're learning, and you could be smart. Everybody's got the answers. The question is, are they applying it? And this is so true in the psychology of money. I've even put it in my book. Are people applying the knowledge now? Are they applying it now in this broken economy that's going on at this point? And the question is, in this broken economy, I'm thinking, okay, what do we do? And so this is really important to get around people who've been doing this thing for a long time.
Well, and Scott, I'm sure you see this, but people kind of struggling with the mental and emotional side of money, right?
So emotional. Imagine, as I mentioned in the book, here you are, you're a 15-year-old kid, and you want to go to the fair with your friends. And so you work all day, and you mow the lawns, and you saved up $100. And you're going to go there, and your mom and dad says, yes, you can go. And you're going to go to the amusement park, and you have to pay for it. Now you go on this wonderful loop-de-loop-de-de ride, and out of your pocket drops $50. That's right, $50.
Yikes.
Now, for those of you who are a millionaire, you lose 50 bucks. Big deal. It's not a big deal. You lose 50 bucks. I mean, obviously, you're upset. But for the kid, he lost 50% of his hard work as the loop-de-de-loop came out of his pocket, money came out, and he's looking all over because he couldn't afford more rides. The question is, can you afford a quality retirement? Are people paying attention to the old school investing? And I think that is what I know. I don't think. I know what happens is the psychology of money is so, so important. Should you buy? Should you hold? And I think this is what I was taught when I was with a big, big firm, and I know for sure that the psychology of money makes people do things wrong at the wrong time. And the question is, let's get to know you better. If you have questions and you're saying, should I get in a market? Is it time to buy? Is it time to sell? Is it time to cross my fingers and do the Hail Mary and hopefully things get better? No, it's time to get some great, maybe second or third opinion, because that's what smart people do. I can promise you.
609-488-4646, 609-488-4646, if you want to contact Scott and his team. We're talking about the psychology of money today, both as a concept and also a book written by Morgan Housel, who says we almost have it backwards with how we teach about finance.
You know, what is most important gets most ignored in this field. And even when we are teaching basic financial skills to people, it's the math equations and how to balance a checkbook, which are great skills. I'm not demeaning those in the slightest. But there's so much evidence that all that matters, that's the right word to use, is your behavior with money. And I say that because you can be the smartest person in the world. You can have a PhD in finance from MIT. But if you lose your head during a market decline, if you panic during a market decline, none of your intelligence matters.
Wow, that's so true, isn't it, Scott?
That's for sure. Because those people that are older, who have been through the dot-com bubble from the year 2000 to 2003, the stock market dropped 50%. Then it came back by 2007, and it finally got back. So they wiped their brow. They did wonderful. For those of the people that were working, they could care less because they're dollar cost averaging, and they got their money back after that 7 years of no growth, followed by, again, the market dropping October 2007 to 2009. And now the market drops almost 60%, 60%. Now, I say this to understand market history. If people believe history has a way of repeating itself, here's the concern. It took from 2007 till 2013 to break even from 2000. That's 13 years of no growth. So where do you invest? Maybe people should start thinking as they shift, for those older people, by the way, retirees like myself, although I'm not retired, I love working. For those retirees that are heading into retirement, yes, shift to income producing vehicles. Income producing vehicles, even if the stock market goes down, long as they pay a dividend, which is why you're buying these income producing vehicles, whether it's dividends or interest, you're still getting a check coming in. You're living for the income. You're not living for the growth. Because again, as I mentioned, from 2000 to 2013, there was no growth. Yet all the artificial printing of money five different times in until 2014, the money finally came back until 2013 and then went up. Could this be the third leg down in a stock market correction? Could it continue to go down? So the psychology of money is understanding, do I need it now? Am I depending on it? It's more than just saying, hey, get out. Maybe you need to stay. This is really, really important. And I can tell you the psychology of money. And our job as a financial advisor, a fiduciary, is to help people walk them through the several different scenarios, not just put them in a, I call it the cookie cutter syndrome, the 70-30, the 60-40, the 40-60. Well, those cookie cutters scenarios, or I say portfolios, it could be totally detrimental. This is why they need to get sound advice right now. And someone who's been through this jungle, not some brand new people, nothing wrong with this. Some new people, there's a bunch of brilliant people, but the people that can take action, not just knowledge on top, but they can knowledge on tap.
Financial Insanity with Scott McClain, out of the box thinking for your financial sanity. And we're talking about the psychology of money, and we're talking about people's emotions and how money and emotions can be tied together, and how Scott can come in and say, I've seen this before, whether it's a market correction, market crash, whether, you know, volatility, inflation, all these things, Scott has seen this before. And so it's a great balance of your emotions coming in with your situation and Scott's experience coming in as well, just to keep you level-headed and make sure you don't do something because it's, you know, knee-jerk reaction or, you know, something that it's great to trust your gut, but sometimes you got to come in and also get another opinion as well. And Scott, just tell people about how, if people have questions, if people maybe think, you know what, maybe my emotions are taking over here, I need somebody to come in here and really just make sure I'm staying level-headed, how can people do that?
I think what's important is to think about, well, how much do I have? Am I rich? Am I poor? There was a study out of Harvard, and they did a study before. If people want to get some advice, and the study found that the rich are still not satisfied. You see, when the market took a big collapse in 2008, and here you're in the streets of Boca Raton, Florida, beautiful, a very, very wealthy area, the rich people were not buying a lot of stuff. They got plenty of money. It's almost the thought, the psychology, I don't want to burn more cash. And they did a study, and over 4,000 millionaires in the United States was asking about how much money would it be to make them happy. And of course, each millionaire was asked to report how much they currently had. And of course, how happy were they, scale of 1 to 10. I don't know if you heard about the study, but then how much money they thought they would need to get at least a 10 on the scale of happiness. Shockingly, 26% of the largest respondents was assigned to 10 times more. The largest possible option given 24 times more. And then, of course, they said, followed by 23%, they said, I want two times more. Only 13% response that they currently have enough to be happy. I guess happiness comes from, you know, the psychology of money as we're discussing. Do you have enough? Will it last? Am I invested correctly? This is why people give our studios a call, 609-488-4646. They give our studios a call saying, Scott, what do you think I'm at? Let me see your portfolio. I've got several times people call up. They'll send over their portfolio and our secure portfolio thing online, and they upload it. My staff brings it to me, so I'm able to talk to people. If you'd like to do that, we'll be happy to do that. No cost, no obligation. But the challenges we're talking about right now, Alex, that you're bringing this up, that even the rich people are still not satisfied. As I talk about in the book, good book I read, is what is your definition of contentment? Are you content? Do you have enough? What is enough? And I can tell you more times than not that contentment starts in your soul. And I'm not here preaching at people, but let me make it clear to you and help you understand. Understanding where you're investing and how it works. There's nothing worse than your lovely spouse passing away and now you lose your Social Security or his her Social Security, your spouse's Social Security, your income now reduced. Maybe they chose a different pension option. That's off the table. Now you're wondering, do I have enough? If you're in that boat and you're concerned about the markets, I'd love to talk to you. Let's have a down-to-earth discussion because right now is not a time to relax, almost like a deer in the headlights, relax and do nothing. You could be the smartest person in the world, as our gentleman said, with the MIT doctorate.
Mm-hmm.
But the application of knowledge, the implementation of knowledge, seeking other people who have been down that road before is so important and so cautionary that you should do something. And if that's on your heart, please give me a call off the air. I'd love to talk to you. 609-488-4646. I will not twist your arm. I will not put it behind your back. You've got to work with me. Let's just have a conversation. You stay with your advisor, stay with your advisor. That's fine. Our business is very, very well. Our clients are tremendously wonderful. And you know what? We're here to help you. If you've got questions, I've got answers, give me a call off the air at our studio, 609-488-4646, which is why I'm such a proud sponsor of WBNJ, because we've done so many tons of educational radio shows just like this one, because we're not here to sell you, it's to educate you, which is why when I wrote the book, The Three Blind Mice, did those advisors ask detailed, important questions? Give me a call off the air. I'd love to talk to you.
Sometimes the most intelligent thing to do is to know that there's someone out there that maybe is a little bit more intelligent in a certain area than even I am. And that could be Scott for you when it comes to retirement planning. Scott McLean, and you're listening to Financial Insanity, Out of the Box Thinking for Your Financial Sanity. More to come.
Scott McLean at McLean Advisory Group often talks about the difference between retirement savings and retirement income. It isn't necessarily how much money you have saved that's most important. It's having a steady stream of income in retirement, no matter how long you live. Scott has strategies that can help you create consistent monthly income for the rest of your life. He can help you make important decisions today so you can have the income you need in retirement. Having a big nest egg is great, but how will it provide you with the income you need for as long as you live? The number to get more information from Scott at McLean Advisory Group is 609-488-4646. That's 609-488-4646. Turn your portfolio into a plan with help from Scott McLean. 609-488-4646.
46.
Investing involves risk. Firm offers insurance services. Investment advisory services are offered through Bell Point Asset Management, LLC.
Financial wisdom grown locally here on the Jersey Shore.
You think I'm an idiot?
This is Financial Insanity with Scott McLean, brought to you by McLean Advisory Group.
It's really as if the entire world of finance is putting the cart before the horse when it comes to how we learn about financial concepts and how we implement them in the real world. And we talk a lot about financial knowledge and know-how, but today we're learning that there's a psychology of money. Morgan Housel wrote a book called The Psychology of Money.
If you get caught up in the excitement of a bubble, none of your intelligence, none of your academic credentials, none of the fact that you know the formulas, none of that matters if you're going to lose your cool when it matters most. That's why the behavior is not just an important part, it's really the base of the pyramid. And until you've checked that box of figuring out your own financial psychology, none of the analytical skills matter until then.
It's true, Scott. You got to know yourself. You got to know yourself when it comes to money. And also, you got to know where somebody like you might be able to jump in and assist.
Yeah. It's the swinging of the marketplace. One day it's up and one day it's down. You know, one thing I've noticed is in the early on in my business, when the market was really taking a tank in 1986, 87, I noticed people were panicking. I know the financial advisors were jumping out the window. I remember in Texas, the advisors were leaving the business. It was very, very scary. And I'm like young. I didn't really care. I was 26, 27, 28 years old. Didn't think much of it. I just didn't understand because it's for me as a 20, I got in the business at 23. And I guess now I'm an old timer. Now I'm 63. But at 23, 24, 25, 26, I'm not worried about the stock market because I've got a long time. Boy, things change when your life is starting to shorten, and now you have to make sure your money lasts a long time. So again, when they say, hang in there, don't worry, it'll come back, that is where the psychology and then the understanding the client is so important. Because I can promise you, if that's all the money they have, they need to be in a different investment. If they can't handle the swings of Wall Street, they need to be in a different types of investment. And so when I speak to people, I think the biggest question is, there's some vehicles that the stock market goes up, you can get some of the gain. But if the stock market drops, you don't lose a penny. Now, there's vehicles like that that are out there. I say it this way. Everybody wants cake and ice cream, but they don't want the cholesterols or the weight or the fat or the carbohydrates, right? Everybody wants that. And the question is, what do you gotta have? And this is why you need to look at all the different types of investments before you buy an investment. And I can tell you, when you go to buy investments, hopefully the person that you're meeting with is educating on how it works. So there's a person that came in and they showed me an investment, and they said, well, Scott, they guaranteed 6%. I look at the investment. I said, wow, 6% guaranteed. This sounds wonderful. Yeah. And it was called an annuity, a variable annuity. I didn't understand that. And I looked at it and I said, well, okay, I know what it was. It wasn't a guaranteed 6% on their money. It was a guaranteed 6% on their money that went to an income bucket. Now, the market was fluctuating, so the market was down almost 23% when I speak to this person just a short time ago, and they had $300,000 in this account. Well, the account now, was I'm looking at it, and they said, Scott, we don't know what to do. We got this. And they said they guaranteed 6%. And I noticed that the account was down from $300,000 to $286,000. That doesn't sound like a lot. But by the way, it went up to $420,000. Wow. But they had an income for life product on there. In other words, it fluctuated. The cash value was not the guaranteed 6%. It was the income for life option. But on top of that, I noticed after calling the company with that person, they were paying almost 4%, it's actually 4.125, but let's just say 4% for those listeners, 4% of $300,000. Well, I don't know about you, but that was $1,000 a month was in fees. That's what it averaged. 1,000.
That's significant.
And by the way, they had it for 3 years. And you can do the math. What's 12,000 times three? They didn't even know how their money was evaporating on one end, but they had the 6% income for life, and they were totally, totally dissuaded. I can promise you there's a lot of vehicles out there that are just not right for you listening. And if you have questions, I'd like to talk to you off the air. We have answers for you. I will tell you this. I'm not here to sell you anything. If I can educate you and give you guidance, I'm very happy to do that. You know, for now, going on our 41st year, we don't need to beg or bug. We just want to educate you and help you make the right decision for your money, because right now is not a time to sit on your laurels, eat the cake and ice cream, and put the weight on. No, now's not the time for that. Now's the time to make sure, are you in a good position? Will it withstand your retirement? Will it last to your beneficiaries or your lovely spouse? 609-488-4646. I'd love to answer your question, your concern. 609-488-4646. Hey, by the way, Alex, that's our website. If you just send 609-488-4646.com, you'll go right to our website as well. Here to help you at McLean Advisory, right around the corner in Weirton, New Jersey. I'd love to talk to you.
Today, we're talking about the psychology of money. Morgan Housel, the author of that book, we have one last lesson from him on our behavior around finances.
As super.
Morgan says one of his first jobs was as a valet at a fancy hotel in Los Angeles. He learned a lot from being around a lot of very wealthy people all of the time.
I think what was really interesting to me was getting to know some of these people who were driving Ferraris and Rolls Royces. Some of them actually were not even that wealthy. They were like mediocre, successful people who spent half their income on a car lease payment. And that to me was really astounding, because that just blew apart all of the impressions, my first impressions that I had of these people. So that was a really formative experience that taught me a lot about the psychology of money.
Yeah, that is that. And that'd be no surprise to you, Scott. I'm sure you definitely,
boy, that's for sure.
You definitely see that as a young person. I can understand thinking, yeah, well, those people might be rich. But as you get older, you realize, those appearances can be deceiving.
You know, the best book I read was when I was younger in the field, because everybody had fancy watches, beautiful, nice suits, driving nice cars. And I really wanted that. And of course, my dad luckily kept me grounded. He said, son, that's just temporary. Your heart is forever. Don't get caught up in things. And I said, but dad, I like things. He said, well, yes, son, but those things will moth and they'll corrupt. They'll dust to dust, just like all of us. Build a nice, strong financial foundation before you buy those nice toys. So worst case, the toys break. Okay, you don't care. You've got enough money stored up. But again, it's just as he said, people are buying these nice, fancy things to look good, the watches, the nice, fancy cars, the boats, and they look like they got money. But boy, there goes the honey when the market changes. And by the way, on the other side of the coin, for those of you that are like myself, that to me is an opportunity to pick up some inexpensive cars. These nice, if you're a car buff or a boat buff, or maybe you're buying a house. You know, people go through financial challenges and the psychology kicks in, and now they're in deep doo-doo and they have to make quick decisions. And I call this could be a fire sale, and maybe you buy some stuff really at a deep discount, which is what I love doing.
Well, Scott, we're talking today a lot about emotions being tied to money and these, maybe clouding your judgment a little bit when it comes to how you feel about your money and you're trying to plan. And Scott, that's where you can really jump in and you can help people talk it out, and you can help people just being real with them and set an emotion aside. And that's really the point, Scott, is educating people so that, you know, they can have those long retirements and they don't have to worry. And so, Scott, just speak a little bit. If people are out there, they have questions, they're maybe worried, thinking, okay, maybe I've been overconfident, or maybe I am too insecure, maybe I'm doing better than I thought. How could you step in and maybe help out?
You know, if people want to get in the market, obviously, that's what we do. But at this point in time, the question is, should you be in the market? I mean, 2021, the market was just rip roaring. Nothing could go wrong. It was a heyday. And my counsel to so many people is, it was a heyday. Should we take some of the winnings off the table and maybe look at some income producing items? For example, some items like preferreds, REITs, BDCs, MLPs, investments that pay a nice juicy dividend, but keep our eye on that. You know, invest for the I, the income, not for the G, growth. And getting someone to move from the G, growth, and then the market takes a poop, well, they're not feeling very well. Their stomach starts to hurt. Then they start to panic. And the challenge is, when you start to panic, is that the wrong call? This is why, if you have questions, we have answers. We'd love to help people through these concerns. And our clients, by the way, doesn't mean our clients are not nervous. They get nervous, which is why they're able to lean on us. And if they need to call us, they'll call us. And luckily, we've been through this, as you mentioned, Alex. You know, I got in the business in 1982, got licensed in 83. And I can tell you, I've seen all sorts of, from the viruses, from the AIDS epidemic, to the virus just recently, from the stock market corrections, from the wars, the Gulf War, Vietnam War. I've been through, and I look at history of the stock market, looking at all these different areas. This is kind of why you kind of want to lean on someone who's been doing this for a period of time. They can help guide you and maybe calm you down. That doesn't mean stay in the market. I'm not saying that. But for some of you, as I did the other day, this client put his money in, his wife and husband put their money in a safe position, a very wonderful safe position. They cannot lose, and they're getting a tremendous rate of return. And I said, well, you're going to work for how much longer? They said, we're going to work for another 3 or 4 years. I said, okay, this money you can't lose. How about we dollar cost average and we stick it in the market and we go 100 miles an hour into good, let's say the S&P and the NASDAQ and the Dow and then the international funds. Let's take this money, because you're not going to use this until you're 70. So not only are they dollar cost averaging as the market goes down, I educated them on why they're getting more shares of stock as the market's dropping. And when it comes back, like it usually does, when it comes back, what happens? They had a nice heyday on that new money, but the old money we preserved. They're happy as a pig in slop. They are so excited because they know what they know, and they know how it's going to work. Very great planning on their part, and we're able to help them.
If you have questions, you can contact Scott 609-488-4646, 609-488-4646. Add an .com there at the end for the website. Covered a lot on the show today, but we still have to put Scott to the test. Love doing this. We've got a round of retirement trivia coming up next.
Oh, this will be fun.
Scott McLean at McLean Advisory Group often talks about the difference between retirement savings and retirement income. It isn't necessarily how much money you have saved that's most important. It's having a steady stream of income in retirement, no matter how long you live. Scott has strategies that can help you create consistent monthly income for the rest of your life. He can help you make important decisions today so you can have the income you need in retirement. Having a big nest egg is great, but how will it provide you with the income you need for as long as you live? The number to get more information from Scott at McLean Advisory Group is 609-488-4646. That's 609-488-4646. Turn your portfolio into a plan with help from Scott McLean. 609-488-4646. Investing involves risk. Firm offers insurance services. Investment advisory services are offered through Bell Point Asset Management, LLC.
News, tips, and financial tricks, all right here.
It's the kind of devil we need around here.
This is Financial Insanity with Scott McLean, powered by McLean Advisory Group.
Time now to put Scott to the test. This week, a very timely topic, Medicare, as open enrollment starting in October like every year. So, Scott, Medicare started under which U.S. president? Question number one, Medicare started under which U.S. President? Scott, let me give you some options, because that would be tough.
That's okay. I'm thinking about Social Security when it started, who that was under.
You start thinking about it. So I'm going to say here, Harry Truman, Lyndon B. Johnson, JFK, or our good buddy Abe Lincoln. Which one of those four started Medicare?
Let's see. My house was built in 1870. I looked at the history books. I'm out here in the woods. Yeah, it's old. I'm going to say Lyndon B. Johnson. That's about around early 1900s. I don't know the date. Then we went into another presidency.
You got it, Scott. Truman. You got it, my friend. Lyndon B. Johnson. So Teddy Roosevelt, just to give background here, included a health insurance platform when he ran for president back in 1912. And the idea picked up steam under Truman administration in the 1940s. JFK made a push for a national health care program for seniors, but officially signed into law Lyndon B. Johnson, 1965, coverage beginning in 1966.
It's amazing how long it took. Look, it started in 1912.
What do you mean it's surprising how, you know, those people can't get anything done quickly.
Yep.
Come on. All right. Here's another one. Doing some Medicare trivia here with Scott McClain. If you have questions, you can call Scott for answers, 609-488-4646. Scott, how many Americans covered by Medicare? 45 million, 59 million, 61 million, or 63 million?
So I'm going to be a total idiot right now. In this, for 2021, I was looking at some stats.
Yeah.
I think it's right around 61 million, I think it was.
Oh, D, 63.
Oh,
so,
really?
And actually, okay, so right now, Medicare coverage for 63.1, but heck, 61, that's a good guess. Ball. I mean, what? Give or take a couple million people, but no, 63.1 million.
So 2 million didn't get it.
No, so that is interesting. So started in 1965, now we have 63.1 million people with Medicare coverage. All right, here's a good one, because I hear these words thrown out here, and I think it's important that we educate people, Scott. Are Medicare supplements and Medigap different?
It was changed, and that's an easy one, Alex. The answer is no. Obviously, things changed in the Medigap insurance, and the original was Medicare, and then it was being changed around. You had Part A and Part B, so this was a very good question for those of you listening out there. What is the difference in when you get these programs? That's a great question, Alex. And of course, Medicare Advantage is the same thing as Medicare Part C. So that's a great question. For those of you listening, making the decisions what program you're getting into is very important. Great, great question.
Well, and Scott, the stuff changes. And so that's why it's important to bring in somebody who, you know, deals with this on a yearly basis and can stay on top of these things, because you don't want to make the wrong decision. You don't want to be uneducated. So So here's another one, Scott. So which part of Medicare covers prescriptions? Is that Part A, Part B, Part C, or Part D? Which part of Medicare covers prescriptions?
That's kind of easy too, because you know, I try to memorize things with symbols, and D would be, of course, drugs. D equals drugs. So I'm gonna say D, because I know A covers the hospital care, laboratory testing, the surgeries, and skilled nursing. I know that's what the covers. And of course, then you have also the Part B, which is the medical insurance for the doctors. That's why you want to check out, is your doctor in the plan, not in the plan? And then, of course, is outpatient. And for those of you listening, when you pick these plans, there's a big difference in the companies, because Part C, I think, Part C, what do you say Part C is for, Alex? What do you think?
Well, Part C, if I remember correctly, provides the same coverage as A and B, and then
absolutely,
obviously maybe with some extra benefits thrown in.
And then D shoves in the prescription part. So if you're going for Plan D, for those listening right now, you can actually type in the medication you're on. It'll tell you the best companies to go with. This is very, very helpful if you like saving money. If you're really frugal like myself, especially in recessionary times and in times of challenging issues, well, I absolutely want you to go to the website and then, of course, pull it up. Or give our office a call, 609-488-4646. We can help you. We can help the plans for you. Again, 609-488-4646. You got another question for me, Big Al?
You know I got another question for you, baby. You're not done with me yet.
All right.
As we're testing here, Scott McClain on some Medicare as open enrollment obviously beginning mid-October. All right. So in what year, Scott, was the Hospital Insurance Trust Fund for Medicare expected to run out of money? So in what year is the Hospital Insurance Trust Fund for Medicare expected to run out of money? Uh-oh. Is this 2026, 2033, 2042, or not until 2055? What do you think?
I did a study on Social Security, and it's supposed to be reduced if they don't fix it by 2033. So if it's 33, I'm going to say 33, that's when Social Security may drop. Let's say 1942.
It's actually 2026. So
what?
Let me tell you here, the insurance trust fund that pays hospital is expected to run out of money in 2026. So Medicare spent $925.8 billion in 2020. The fund's expenditures exceeded income by $60.4 million due to a massive amount of accelerated and advanced payments.
So, Alex, when I'm thinking about this, and I don't want to be political, but when we have people going across the border getting all these free benefits, I'm kind of wondering, could that number even drop even lower? I'm nervous about that. I'm not going to go into a discussion here on it, but Alex, if we're giving away this free medical, free insurance, free Medicaid for people who are indigent, don't have much money, it's okay. And I believe all the Americans deserve that. But what happens when that happens? I guess if you're voting out there, you better pay attention to that discussion on insurance. That's a great question on the Hospital Insurance Trust Fund, because if that goes debunk, we're in a different world.
And this has been good. If you have questions, you can call Scott, who may have answers for you. 609-488-4646. 609-488-4646. Okay, final question here, Scott. Talking about Medicare, who were the first two Medicare beneficiaries? So this is interesting. The first two Medicare beneficiaries. Options here. A, Lyndon and Lady Bird Johnson. B, Harry and Bess Truman, C, Walt and Lillian Disney, or D, Bernie and Jane Sanders. The first two Medicare beneficiaries, who do you think they were, Scott?
Well, if Lyndon B. Johnson was when it really signed into law, I'm going to say Lyndon B. Johnson.
Well, that's actually wrong. That's the obvious answer, Scott. I don't blame you, but it's interestingly enough, Harry Truman and his wife, Bess. So Harry Truman had called for the creation of a national health insurance fund back in 1945, like we mentioned earlier, during his term as president, but another 20 years before Medicare would actually become a reality.
Huh.
It came full circle there for Harry Truman.
So it looked back in 1940s when he was around. Of course, Kennedy pushed the deal. Wow, that's amazing. So
pretty cool history lesson.
It's a great. Well, guys out there, please don't judge me on my failures of the answers and the winnings of the answers. But I can tell you right now, do you have the right plan? Do you have someone who's paying attention to you? Are you in the right place where the financial firm is the financial month? Here it is. Are you paying attention to all the details when it comes to your finances? Great questions, Alex.
And Scott, for a final time, if people out there do have questions, what should they do? Or if people out there maybe are thinking, should I get a second set of eyes on this? Should I get another opinion? What's your advice?
My advice is yes, you should, whether it's with our firm or not. I don't ever push our firm, but you know, we do a lot of education stuff since I got on the phone. 609-488-4646. That phone number will get you to me. Now, of course, you can ask for Bonnie and say, Bonnie, could you put Scott in my schedule if I'm busy? We're focusing our clients now. They're asking lots of questions. They're excited about our service. We're actually having a wonderful time helping our clients. But if you've got questions, we have answers, or we can get answers. On top of that, don't deny yourself the ability to maybe just get a second opinion. Come down if you wish to give us a call at our studios. Have a time, and the time we spend together, if you just want to come in and observe, have a discussion. No cost, no twisting of arms.
That's our motto here at our firm, McLean Advisory, right here in Weirdtown, New Jersey. That's what we don't do. What we do do is we drill down, finding out what's important to you. How can I guide you and help you? 609-488-4646 is the number to give us a call off the air at our studio, 609-488-4646. And by the way, if you just type that in on your computer and put .com, that'll bring you right to my website if you want to learn more about my firm and all that we're doing, that we're helping people right here in Financial Insanity, out of the box thinking for your financial sanity. Thanks for joining us.
This presentation may contain information which has undergone regulatory or other significant change since its original recording.
The information on this program is educational in nature and is not intended to be a recommendation for any specific investment product, strategy, plan, tax, or legal advice. Information presented is believed to be factual and up-to-date, but we do not guarantee its accuracy. Discussions and answers to questions do not involve the rendering of personalized investment advice and is limited to the dissemination of general information and may not be suitable for members of the listening audience. Communications such as this are not impartial and are provided in connection with advertising and marketing for McLean Advisory Group. Prior to making any investment or financial decisions, an investor should always seek advice from a financial, insurance, legal, or tax professional. McLean Advisory Group and or Scott McLean offer investment advisory and financial planning services through Bell Point Asset Management, LLC.
This radio show is a paid placement.